7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another amazing Croc podcast. The reason why these podcasts are so amazing is because of the people who listen to it. That would be you guys, the Survivor Thrivers, all of our fellow caretakers, caregivers, as well as anyone else who happens to be listening, family members, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Joining me, as always, my trusted valet, second in command, the Gilligan to my skipper, Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, under the weather once again.
Just sit back here and it's great. I don't know the whole words I was going to say, and I messed it all up. Anyway, yes, a tale of two cities here. Nah, I'm feeling all right. Listen, I'm back on my feet. Just because you're under the weather doesn't mean you cannot help out others. And let me tell you, when we hit record, the energy goes up and all the sickness goes out. Croc Nation, I'm happy to be with you.
And we're happy to have you. You're such a delight, and you're so good to our cancer survivors. Thank you for everything you do for us working sick. We appreciate you. As a matter of fact, Angel, this module, small module, this 3-episode module is really dedicated to you because you were the inspiration, you know, all of the code grays that you call, indicating violence in the workplace and anger and all that kind of stuff started my mind racing. And how could this maybe be turned around to a lesson or maybe some information to help our survivors have a better survivorship? So last week we talked about the code gray. We talked about anger. We talked about cancer survivors in specifically having anger about their diagnosis, their treatment, their side effects, and all the things related to it. And we're going to take it now. As I said, we defined it. We gave you some strategies regarding it. The second part is going to be talking about how to regulate these emotions. And then next week, how we could absolutely turn it upside down and all around and turn that frown into a smile. And we're going to talk about the final step, which would be the use of kindness in order to achieve, to eradicate anger and achieve greatness in your survivorship.
And it's important too, because we're in that year. This is the time of year also where, you know, mental illness and just short fuse and depression sets in. I know that's a little bit off topic, but on topic, but it can hold a factor as to hostility in the workforce or any environment that we're in.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's a very apropos subject. And I think we tackled it last Christmas time. We talked about all the feelings, how to help our survivors manage the holidays. So Angel, tell them how they can go back if that's something that they would like to listen to.
Absolutely. You know, we're available on every platform. We always ask you nicely and kindly to just please listen to every episode that you can when you have a chance. We're available now on YouTube. We're available on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes. If you have an iPhone, you already have the icon in your phone. It says podcast. Just go there, type in the Croc Podcast. You will find us. And you will find that episode. As a matter of fact, we're going to put the description for that particular episode on the description here on this episode this week.
Awesome. Thank you, Angel. That's very sweet of you. So really, what's nice going to be nice about these three episodes, really short, really sweet, to the point. Goal being for today, we're going to be investigating our emotions, the cancer survivors / thrivers emotions, and how to better regulate these emotions, because when you do, you're able to lessen the negative effect. And when I talk about negative effects, we'll be talking both about the physical and the psychological effects of anger and all these other negative emotions. And guess what, Angel? If we're able to do that, we will improve our health outcomes. So again, we're always here to find ways of trying to, stack the deck in favor of our survivors.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So let's start with some definitions. And it's kind of funny. Even as a doctor, I have a problem with these definitions because I'm not a psychiatrist, although I need a psychiatrist, but I'm not one. But I will go through some of the definitions that we're going to be talking about today. So things you wouldn't even really think twice about, like what is an emotion? What is an affect? And what is emotional regulation? So pretty simple. But important. So an emotion is a conscious mental reaction, and we mentioned anger, but it could also be fear or anything else, which we subjectively experience as a strong feeling. Angel, it's usually directed toward a specific object and typically accompanied by physiological and behavioral changes in the body. So in English, an emotion is something we feel that's a reaction to something that's happening. We're reacting to something. It's almost as if a baby puts hand on hot stove. That is the stimulus. The reaction is to pull your hand away as quickly as possible, so it doesn't hurt anymore. And that's sort of what emotions are. In affect in medicine, so you know, as a resident intern, you know, when we're doing our history and physicals, the first thing we are asked to relay in that body of work when we're talking about the physical examination is what is the affect of the patient. So affect is different than emotion because it is your experience of a feeling or emotion, but it actually comes out of you as a mood. So it's like, can you, when you look at someone, if their affect is flat, we say that a lot, that means it's almost like one of those lobotomized kind of people, or someone who might be on the spectrum or something like that. They might have like a flat affect. You might have somebody who's really hyped up and, you know, really hyper. You might have somebody who's really laid back. You might have somebody who just, you ever see, you hear the expression, like you look at their face and it's like, you get nervous. Like there's something about their face. That's an affect. That's like a mood that you're exuding. Moods can be compromised or comprised of the emotion that we're mentioning, but it could also be temperament. You know, we all have a temperament. Angel, you and I have a little bit of the same temperament. We're a little, you know, Spanish slash Italian slash romantic slash a little bit out there with our emotions, are kind of right. We wear our emotions on our sleeves, and our affect would be, I guess, that. But also it's our disposition. It's what our dear Lord has blessed us with. We all have our positive points and our negative points, and he gives each of, and he makes each of us different for a reason, because if any two snowflakes were alike, life would not be fun, right? So that's that. Today we're going to be talking specifically about how to regulate our emotions, regulate how our survivor thrivers can regulate their fear and their anger and their anxiety and their depression. And emotional regulation is the process of changing one's emotions in order to maintain a preferred emotional state. So I think everybody would prefer to be calm rather than be reactive, but you know, that's a story for another day. So in short, Angel, to sort of steal a bit of a line from the Forrest Gump movie, which we tend to use a lot on this podcast, you know, shit happens, right? No matter who you are, we're going to get something in our face that we're not going to want. It's not going to be pleasant. We're not going to like it. And it is what it is. There's nothing we could do to hide from that. But we want to have this podcast, at least, create an environment in that we can control what happens next. The next step after that is given to us. That sort of that news, that slap in the face, that what do they call it when you jump in the water? In the cold water, they call that the plunge.
Pull or some.
The plunge. The
pull or plunge.
Yeah, exactly. So we get the polar plunge is how we react to it. So Angel, how is emotional regulation measured? So when you're reading the papers that I read, you know, when I'm preparing for these podcasts, I read, you know, many articles to try to glean as much information as I can and then try to succinctly bring it back to the survivor. A lot of these psychological, psychiatric papers, do their study. So when I say there's a positive study or their outcomes are better, I'm using that to simplify, but there's papers to back up what I say. So some of these papers utilize self-reporting. So there's all these standardized testing. If you've been out of school not too long, you know, you've been through every freaking test you can imagine. They call them all different things. They have all these acronyms for them. So you know what a standardized indice is. Sometimes they give them to you to find out, you know, what you would be good at, you know, for your future. The guidance counselor will give you a test and all this type of thing. That's called self-reporting. You could also do observational, you know, measurements, and that's cool. That's like actually going into a psych lab, you know, like, and I put in here, think Ghostbusters. So the original Ghostbuster movie, when you know, Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, they were the goofy professors in at Columbia, you know, and when Bill Murray was doing the experiments in the beginning, that's a psych lab, you know, and basically, you know, he's torturing this poor guy, and what's his reaction? He gets really angry. And he's really just trying to hit on the pretty girl, right? The pretty co-ed. So that's what observational reporting is. But we're not going to spend any time on that. I just wanted to let you guys know that what I'm about to tell you is backed up in the literature. So really, the two words that we're going to be focusing on today as it relates to emotional regulation is engagement versus non-engagement or disengagement. So those are where we're going with this. So we could either regulate ourselves by engaging or regulate our emotions by disengaging. You can imagine just by the, you know, the root of the word disengagement, dis meaning bad, disengagement's not going to be our avenue that we're going to recommend. We're going to be recommending engagement. So does emotional regulation affect your psychological health? And the answer to that is obvious. There is data or evidence that the use of engagement strategies, which we're going to be talking about, following an emotionally eliciting stimuli, as we said, hand on the stove, but that's just a metaphor, it's associated with a positive outcome. It's also associated, believe it or not, Angel, with better interpersonal functioning, improvement in your work performance, reduction in negative affects, so those negative moods, increased pain tolerance, and decreased cardiac reactivity. On the other hand, disengagement, which would be defined as someone who's in denial or someone who's suppressed, they're not really attuning to this. They're just kind of letting, you know, this stimuli cause them to be reactive. They noticed that these patients, these survivors, have a greater incidence of depression, a greater incidence of anxiety, higher levels of chronic pain, higher blood pressures, increased inflammation and inflammation-based disease, and increased progression of cancer. So really, you're getting poorer health outcomes by disengaging. So when we do our emotional regulation, we want to engage, which we'll explain, rather than disengage. So that is clearly you know, mentioned in the literature very clearly. Trying to put it together by looking at this emotional regulation model, basically, there's a theory that the experience of an individual can have a significant impact on their quality of life. So if you've been told you have cancer, if you're in pain, if you're just really anxious and depressed, and your quality of life is not going to be great. There's nothing that's enticing about that. However, the impact functions partially through the mechanism of this emotional regulation. So we could change the way we feel. And I know it's not easy, and I'm probably need to sign up first. I'm going to cut the line with all our survivors to be first online to try to figure this out. But it can be done. So the emotional regulation techniques utilized do not replace the negative emotions. So this is what I was trying to get to in the beginning. You are going to have negative emotions. There's going to be a stimuli. You're going to have negative emotions. The question is, what do you do next? Do you deny them? Do you suppress them? Do you don't even want to say that they're there? Or do you engage and try to make a change? So that's what today is all about. So basically, the individual will still feel this negative emotion, but instead, We want our survivor thrivers to adjust the dynamics of these emotions and produce adaptive responses, which we're going to talk about, to their environment. These adaptive responses to the environment lead in turn to improved outcomes. In short, an individual has to first have the effective experience, the hand on the stove, and the way in which he or she regulates this will tell how the outcomes could be improved. Your thoughts?
I think it's interesting. I had to gather my thought for a second because we talk about environment, and I think, you know, a lot of times I've always indicated, you know, we don't want to act like a thermometer. We want to act like a thermostat. We want
Correct.
To
you always say
control,
that to us. Right.
Control
right.
that environment. And I think that a lot of us can relate to that, but what we tend to do is we react before we actually try to take control of that environment. But I think this episode allows us the opportunity to engage on the conversation that we can control the narrative. We can control.
You know what? I actually like your metaphor better than mine. I love your thermostat metaphor. It's fantastic. We're going to use that.
Yeah.
So getting to the five emotional regulation skills that we need to master or help our survivor / thrivers master is setting that thermostat 100%. I couldn't disagree with you. So let's talk about five different techniques, because you know why, Angel, we don't just identify problems. We try to come up with some creative solutions. So basically, number one, create space. So just what you said, emotions, they happen fast, right? They happen in a second. That coworker you were mentioning to me today came up to you with some inappropriate request. Like, you didn't see it coming. And all of a sudden, you're like, your inner psyche is like, blah, 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 right? It's just crazy. We don't think, now I'm going to get angry. Like, we just get angry. It just happens. We're suddenly clenched, jawed, and furious. I could just, if I could have seen your face. So the number one skill to try to regulate these emotions is to pause, that dramatic pause. Take a breath. Remember, we did that podcast on breathing. Slow down the moment between that trigger and the response. So create space. Number two, notice what you're feeling. This is the ability to become aware of what you're feeling in the moment, not 8 hours later, not 7 hours later, right then. So this practice is really, you can, obviously people piss us off all day, right? We have a lot of opportunity to practice this. So there's no question that we can do that. So just tune into yourself. Say to yourself, what am I feeling? What am I experiencing in my body? What am I experiencing in my belly? My wife always tells me she feels, when she feels a funny feeling in her belly, she's got that sort of, you know, that second sense, that sense of something's not right. I kind of just sense it. So feel what you're feeling and then describe what you're feeling. And that's number three, name that feeling. So you notice that you're feeling something bad. Now we have to name it. We have to give it a name. And if we give it a name, we can control it. So what is the emotion that I'm feeling right now? Am I sad? Am I angry? Am I anxious? Am I depressed? Am I feeling intimidated? Am I feeling terrorized? What is it that I'm feeling? And then once we determine anger, sadness, disappointment, resentment, what else could it be? From there, the emotions hide beneath others. So we're able to then identify and have a really conversant way. So Angel, you and I, we've been going to Oak and Reed now for our dinners and for our board meetings. We know that menu inside out.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of what we want our survivor thrivers to do. We want them to know the menu of the emotions that they're feeling, so, and get familiar with them so they can name them. Sometimes, sadly, we have emotions that sort of merge. So sometimes you could have more than one emotion going on at the same time. But that's okay. You could identify emotions. You could be angry, but you could also be fearful. You could be sad, and you could also be angry. You could be resentful and angry and sad, and anxious. I mean, you can have any grouping of that. So you dig. So this takes time, guys. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to listen to this podcast and like by Tuesday, you know, be able to identify all your emotions. They're very, very, very subtle sometimes. And again, this is just getting to know yourself. Number four, accepting the emotion. So now we have gotten the emotion. We're okay with it. We've identified the emotion. We've named the emotion. Now we're going to accept the emotion. The emotions are normal and natural. And if we didn't feel anger, if we didn't feel sadness, if we didn't feel fear, if we didn't feel acceptance, if we didn't feel any of these things, we would be the perfect human being. And there's only one perfect human being if you're from the Christian faith. If you're from the Islam faith, there was another one, Muhammad. And if you're from the Jewish faith, I'm sure Moses or whatever. But really, there is no perfect. If you're a human and you're stained like everybody else, then you're not going to be perfect. So you're okay. You got to be okay with that. And be okay with not being okay. Give yourself a break. Practice self-compassion. Give yourself a little grace. It's completely normal, the reactivity that you're going through. Number five, and we should do, we've been saying this for 3 years, we have to do a mindfulness module. Mindfulness helps us basically just live in the moment. We pay attention to what's inside of us. We use our senses to notice what's happening around us, and we're not judgmental on what's happening. So whatever it is that's happening to us, we're not judging it. We're just identifying it. We're being okay with it, and we're living in the moment. By doing this, you could stay calm, avoid engaging in negative thought, and even if you're in pain, physical or emotional pain. And then I wanted to talk to you about a few strategies as well. That could help you regulate your emotions as well. So there's other strategies you could use. So we talked about the trigger. You have to identify your triggers. And then you have to stay as far away from those triggers as possible. And you might say to me as a survivor, thriver, how could I stay away from my neighbor? How could I stay away from my coworker? How can I stay away from, hamburgers? How can I stay away from whatever? The answer is you can. You don't know how because you never have. You haven't defended your boundaries. You haven't made that line in the sand. I know people who are very healthy psychologically that have had to make the tough decision to really exclude certain people from their lives because they were triggering them to go down a bad path. And I know that's hard, especially if they're people that are your family, because you can't pick your family. You can pick your friends, but you have to do what you got to do. And you have to look for patterns. You know, we are creatures of patterns. I know I'm the number one creature of a pattern. And, you know, I'm like Einstein. I'm the perfect example of what Einstein said. You know, you do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different outcome. That's called insanity, right? So you look for the patterns of what you're doing over and over and over and over again, and you try to put that away. You try to get rid of it. You want to tune into your physical symptoms. We talked about this. How are you feeling, you know, physiologically? Are you feeling tired? Are you just completely wiped out? Are you feeling hungry? What are you feeling? And these emotions and how they make you feel can help also tune you into what's going on. You are a living story, Angel, and every one of our survivor thrivers is a living story. Fill in the blanks of your story. Write your story the way you want your story to be told. You might feel rejected because you haven't heard from a family member, but maybe there's an explanation. Don't write the story without knowing everything that's going on behind. I can't tell you how many times that I've reacted to something that absolutely had no business reacting to. Self-talk that's positive instead of self-talk that's self-deprecating or putting yourself down. Angel, you and me, we both are guilty of this. We don't do enough positive talk. We do too much negative talk. And, you know, are we perfect? No. Would we both look good in Speedos? Probably not. But that doesn't mean that we can't know how beautiful we are inside and out, know how much value we have as people. And this is especially for our survivor thrivers who probably feel diminished from their cancer, mutilated by their cancer, different or changed by their cancer. But we will hear no negative talk. This is all feeding into these negative emotions that we're trying to destroy. And then you have a choice, Angel. You have a choice on how to respond to what the stimulus is. You can keep your hand on the stove or you can take your hand off, either one. And then once you start feeling better, then you notice that your emotions that were negative, that became negative after the stimulus, you're going to start noticing that they're going to evolve and they're going to start to morph and they're going to start to change. They're going to become very, very soft. They're going to become very positive. And before you know it, all of those negative things, all of the anger, all of the fear, all of the hatred, all of the anxiety, sadness, resentment, depression, it's going to lift like just a morning fog. Angel Santana, happy, let it begin. You always get the last word, my brother.
And I think you said it best by saying, you know, just knowing what your environment is all about and controlling that environment. I think that a lot of us can, as I said earlier, you know, can relate to this topic, but more importantly, have to learn how to take a couple steps back, know and control your environment, know your surroundings, and never put yourself in a position where you have to make those difficult choices, because as humans, we can identify those red flags one way or another. So for that, just keep an eye on your surroundings, be well aware of your control that you have in your environment, and more importantly, be true to yourself and others.
Angel Santana, as always, I really appreciate you. Remember, everybody, next week we're going to be talking a little bit about the third episode of the module. We're talking about kindness. Also, if you want to know how to handle your crazy family, or you've just been diagnosed with your disease and you now have to face a house full of people and you don't know what to do, go back next from last year. The link will be there to get some strategies for that. Angel, we're going to end like we end every podcast, first with our pep talk. You know what? Listen, guys, this module is for you. We know what's going on out there. We should appreciate it. We should expect it. You just got hit right in the face, right in the nose with a Mike Tyson punch, and you didn't see it coming. And it was a dirty punch, and the punch was called cancer. And you were told that you're not going to make it, or you're told that your odds are bad and you're probably not going to see next Christmas. And you're looking at your 10-year-old kid, your 12-year-old kid, your 10-year-old grandkid. You're looking at your life. You're looking at everything. You're taking stock and you can't find a damn thing that's good about it. And you start going into this anxiety and this depression. And that's where we want you to stop. We want you to take that space. We want you to take that pause, and we want you to know how worthy you are, how loved you are, how special you are, how smart you are, how accomplished you are, and how tough you are. You are brave and you are courageous. And you want to know something? You're going to beat this. You are going to beat this. And the first step to beating your cancer is to beat that emotion. Change that emotion, turn it into something positive. Get inspired, and your survivorship will soar. On behalf of the board of directors, who I appreciate very much, and on behalf of Angel Santana and Half Faith Let It Begin, Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up, as well as all the other people involved in the Croc podcast, we want to end this podcast the same way we end each and every podcast, by wishing you, the survivor thriver, the most important people to us, a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.